never heard me preach before. I'm what's classified as an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone type preacher. I won't give you 3 points in a poem today. I may give you 7 or 8 and no poems, but we'll have a good time in the Lord. I have folks tell me all the time, saying, I listen to you on the radio and I'm slap give out the time you get through preaching, just trying to help you breathe. But it works that way sometimes. Exodus, the 16th chapter, starting with the 13th verse. Won't you stand while we read the word of the Lord? And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, now listen to this, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. 19th and 20th verse again. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. I want to try to bring you a message this morning that the Lord has laid on my heart that I have entitled, 7 Indications of a Church That's Hoarding God's Blessings. You pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in this house again today. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful congregation you've sent this way. Thank you for the wonderful singing we've already been blessed by, the Sunday school, smiling faces, warm hearts. Thank you, God, for this fellowship. Now, Lord, in this preaching time, I pray, God, for your blessings. I pray for your anointing, God, that I would say exactly what you want me to say, nothing more, nothing less. I'd say it in the way you wanted it said. And, Lord, that we would receive it into our hearts and act upon it in the way, God, that you would be pleased with. Now, Lord, I know in a congregation this size, Lord, most likely there's someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior. I lift that person before you right now, God, whoever it might be, and it may be more than one, Lord. And I lift them to you, and I ask that you'd take this message and speak to their hearts, God. And, Lord, save their soul this morning. And, Lord, perhaps there are those who've grown cold and indifferent. God, speak to their heart. Draw them back to you. Perhaps those who are in the valley of decision, God, give them the decisions they need, Lord. Give them the answers, I pray. And Lord, maybe those who are just wounded heroes today, God, that just need to be loved and just wrapped up in your spirit in this place. God, I pray you do that today, Lord. Use me, I pray. Hide Aaron in the cross. Lord, send your angels, station them in this place wherever they may need to be to prevent the wicked one from doing his work. And God, Holy Spirit, sir, we invite you into this place. Have your way in this place today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And you may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, we see an example of God providing for his people. How many of you know that God always provides for his people? Yet we also see in this passage of Scripture a valuable lesson. The blessings of God are not given so that we may hoard them and put them in the bank and sit on them and have them in reserve so that we can feel real comfortable about what we're doing. But yet the blessings of God are given to be passed on to somebody else. Amen. God supplied the manna for the children that were in Israel. But he said, what I've done today, I can do it again tomorrow. And I can do it again the next day. He said, you don't need to hoard it all up. You don't need to have it in your bank account, so to speak. Just trust in me, is what God is saying. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that God teaches us to be wise stewards. I'm not saying that at all. We're not to be foolish with God, the things that God has given us. But I also know that God expects us to give as he gives to us. He expects us to pass it on. Now today I want to make it crystal clear what I'm speaking about. If you want to go out and say, what did he preach about this morning? I'm about to tell you so there won't be any. Well, don't you wish all preachers would do that? Amen. I'm about to tell you so there won't be any misunderstanding. What I want you to know today is that God does not bless greedy, stingy Christians. That's what I'm talking about. God does not bless greedy, stingy churches. Well, glory. If we do not bless folks with what God has blessed us with, the blessings will stop. If you don't believe that, ask the man in the Bible that had the barns. God blessed him. He gave him a great increase. Instead of passing it on and doing what he should have done with it, what did he say? He said, I'll build bigger barns. I'll hoard to myself what God has blessed me with. And the Lord told him, said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose will all of those blessings be? God's going to pass them on whether we want him to or not. You see, the only thing we've got in this deal is whether we're going to be a vessel that passes it on and gets blessed, or whether God has to pass it on in spite of us. Now, we see in the scripture today that when the Israelites got greedy and tried to gather more manna than they had been instructed to gather, that God cursed their blessing. You all know why a lot of churches are having their blessings cursed today. You all know why a lot of people, Christian, good Christian people, are having their blessings cursed today. It's because they're wanting to hold on to them instead of give them out. Amen. The Dead Sea is a good example of what I'm talking about. If we receive and receive and receive and never give, then we will stagnate. And when we stagnate, we become poison. And when we become poison, things begin to die. Boy, I wish I had 2 hours to preach this sermon this morning. But the reason a lot of churches are dying is because of stagnation. They've become stagnant in the pulpits. They've become stagnant in their worship services. They've become stagnant in their giving, stagnant in their visitation, stagnant in every aspect of their life. And when we stagnate, we begin to get poison, and that bitter poison will kill us. Amen. Amen. The church is not a bank. I personally believe that any church that's hoarding money ain't where God all wants it to be. Hello. Stay with me. We are not to hoard the gifts that God blesses us with. But you know, some churches have got an attitude. And y'all want me to tell you what the attitude is? Say, preacher, tell us what the attitude is. The attitude is, God, please bless us all you can, and then we'll can all your blessings, and then we'll sit on our cans. Hello. Preacher, you ought not said that. Why? It's the truth. Amen. And that's the reason so many churches are dying today. They're not vibrant. They're not alive. Because they just won't sit down on what God's blessed them with. They're sitting on their blessed assurance instead of standing on the promises. Amen. Amen. But I want to look today at 7 indications of a church that has begun to hoard God's blessing. Now, the first thing I want you to know, when a church is hoarding the blessings of God, there will be, 1, no oil in the pulpit. Oil is in the Bible is used to represent the anointing of God. A material-minded preacher will never spiritually minister. Ooh, amen. The Bible teaches that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Now I'm going to tell you something. When a church begins to get material-minded, it's going to start when the preacher gets material-minded. Well, y'all help me a little bit here. When the preacher begins to put more emphasis on things than he does of God. And God help us, listen to what I'm about to say. God help us never to let money or things be the determining factor in whether we do what God wants us to do or not. Amen. If God's leading it, He'll provide it. I have always lived my life by the philosophy that what my God orders, He'll pay for. If He don't order it, it won't get paid for. Well, amen. When a church begins to hoard the blessings of God, the focus becomes on me, my, and mine, instead of them. When the man of God is preaching God's word, now I may not get no further than this today, but when the man of God is preaching God's word, people will either hate him or they'll love him. Ain't much middle ground when you're preaching the word of God. And I'm telling you today, I got folks that love me. I got a bunch of folks that love me. And I got some that despise me. Thank God I do. Why do you say that, preacher? Bible says, beware of the man that's always well spoken of. When somebody comes and says, did you hear what Brother Aaron said? Brother Aaron did the other day. You ought to just say, thank you, Jesus. He's yours. I'm hearing something bad about him. He must be doing all right. Because if all you hear is good, something's wrong. Well, glory. I'm telling you something, though, folks. When a man preaches a word, they'll either love him or hate him, but they won't be stagnant. Amen. They'll go one way or the other. They either fur you or against you. They'll either have to get in or get out. And I'm telling you something, I think it's time some folks either did get in or get out. If you ain't going to go, don't hinder the ones that are going. Well, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today, as long as there's breath in this old boy's body, I'm going to preach the word. I tell you, I could kind of come too far. Done got too ornery, too stubborn, and too sod in my ways to do anything else other than just preach the word of God. If folks like it, all right. If they don't like it, all right. I'm smiling when I'm saying this. Amen. I love the Lord. But I'm going to preach it without compromise and without apology. Don't it make you sick to hear a preacher preach a good sermon for 15 minutes and then spend the next 15 minutes apologizing for what he said in the first 15? Amen. Well, glory. If it ever comes to the point where I'm just another preacher preaching just another sermon to just another congregation on just one more Sunday, I'm telling you, I don't want nothing to do with that stagnant junk. But I tell you, I'd rather be God's man preaching God's word to God's people on God's day, God's way, and God's power than anything I know. Amen. The preaching of the word changes lives. How many in this place today can say the preaching of the word changed your life? I can. It still changes my life. But we become stagnant because we get stagnant in our prayer life and our study habits and our passion for the lost gets stagnant and we die. It's time that we demand in Southern Baptist churches. Now this is being recorded for radio and I want it to sound clear. It's time that we as preachers and members of Southern Baptist churches demand that the anointing of the oil of God be returned to our pulpits. And that preachers once again preach with holy flame for the souls and the lives of men, women, boys and girls that are dying and on their way to a devil's hell. So that ain't popular preaching, preacher. But it's what saves folks from hell. And we need to demand that be returned. No, they don't have to rant and rave like I do. They can talk in a calm voice and never raise their voice and still preach a hellfire and brimstone sermon. Amen. It's time we demand that it gets back. And I'm telling you what, I love preachers and I wish I had a house full of them here today. But it's time a lot of preachers either begin to fish or cut bait, one or the other. Amen.
If you're going to preach, preach. If you ain't, get out of the way. I think Lee Iacocca summed it up best when he said, either lead, follow, or get out of the way. And it's time we do that in God's churches again today. I tell you, when churches begin to get stagnant, when we begin to hoard everything, when our sole focus is on us, then you begin to hear no preaching coming out of the pulpit. You begin to see a preacher that'll begin to compromise what he believes. And you'll see the world become more into the church than the church is getting into the world. Oh, glory! Why can't we do it in reverse? Instead of having to change us to meet them, why can't we go out there and change them? Well, glory. Well, the second thing I want you to see, and I'm going to try to get all seven of these in. Y'all better be listening real quick and praying real hard. When the church is hoarding God's blessings, not only is there no oil in the pulpit, but number two, there's no outsiders in the pews. Well, some think that this is a sanctimonious society for saved folks instead of a hospital for sinners. We get this as a country club. This is our little clique where our folks come. And we want our folks in here. And we don't know nobody else in here. Well, glory. Some churches don't want the undesirables of the world sitting in their pews. But Jesus based his ministry on ministry to the undesirables of the world. He went to harlots. Horror of horrors. He went to lepers. And he went to the blind, the halt, the maimed, the handicapped. He even ministered to the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. Amen. But see, we don't want that today. We don't want the undesirables of the world in our church. But let me tell you something. Old Brother Aaron wants the outsiders of the world in this church. I want the drunkards sitting on the pews with you. I want the dope addicts sitting on the pews here. I want the harlots sitting on the pews here. I want the homeless here. I want the homosexuals sitting on the pew here. Woo! Glory! I want people from broken homes sitting on these pews. I want people that are poor sitting on these pews. I want different races sitting on these pews. Why, Brother Aaron? So that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus saves. Well, glory! Woo! And that they might be converted. And I'm telling you something. I cast a large net if I do what God wants me to do. It's not an exclusive net, but it's an all-inclusive net. The gospel of... Well, glory! When Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he did not say, I will draw the middle class to me. The light, bright, just about white middle class. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw the black congregation to me. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw me into me. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw a double L all men unto me. Let me tell you something. I don't know why I'm on this again, but I'm running it. If we got the right to exclude anybody, they've got the right to exclude us. My brother sitting right here, I'll embarrass him. I usually get Jason, but being how you here, I'll get you. Some folks may say, he might look at me and say, well, I don't want fat folks in that church. And I might look at him and say, I don't want ugly folks in here either. No. I look at him and say, I don't want folks with red shirts on in here. You see what I'm saying? If he's got a right to tell me I can't come, I got a right to tell him he can't come. Oh, but Jesus said, let whosoever will come. And he said, I'll in no wise cast them out. But when the church begins to hoard the blessings of God, they begin to say, well, we like what we got. We like it just like it is, preacher. Well, you better get a life because it ain't going to stay just like it is. It'll either get better or it'll get worse, but it ain't going to stay like it is. Because when it gets to staying like it is, it gets stagnant. You know what old Brother Aaron likes to do? Man, I feel good this morning. I like to tear up microphone stands. I'll tell you what Brother Aaron likes to do. I like to see that stagnant water sitting out there, and I like to say, what's this? Jump over in it. Go to staring. Woo! You know what? When water's been stagnant for a while, you stir it and it'll stir a stink up. Amen. And I'm telling you something. You stir it long enough, you'll stir the stink out of it. I ain't never been accused of good sense, and today ain't going to be the first time I'm accused of having it. I want to see everybody in this place accepting Jesus, loving Jesus. You know, I've said this about this little congregation before. Beatenest thing I've ever seen. We got folks in here that's got master's degree in education, all the way down to folks that can't even hardly write their name. But when we come in this place, all of that stays outside. We meet on common ground and we just worship the Lord. Well, amen. Third thing I want you to see. Now, when the church gets all inclusive, there's no oil in the pulpit, there's no outsiders in the pew, and then when we turn our attention on us, then you find there's no offering in the plate. Ooh! I could have quit right before I got to that point, couldn't I? Now, I don't preach on money a lot, but let me tell y'all a little secret. Listen real close. It's just between us. I ain't scared of it either. Amen. Some preachers just have a hard time preaching on money. Money, 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 money. I ain't got no problem saying it. I don't see how people can proclaim to be saved when their pocketbook and the checkbook and the savings account and the mad money didn't get saved with them. Ooh. Ooh. Somebody reach over to the one next to you and kind of slap them a little bit and get them out of shock. Oh my God, he's talking about money. Yeah. So I am. You're supposed to be giving it too. Giving, not me or somebody else having the pride out of you. Well, bless God, preacher. I love the Lord, and I'll just give how he lays it on my heart. I wish you would, because I know how he'll lay it on your heart. Amen. He owns it all to begin with. You ain't giving God nothing to begin with. What he don't already own. You cannot be closed-fisted with money. You know, a lot of folks want to serve the Lord this way. They want to come before him. They want to get their money. And say, God, I'm coming to this altar. I'm going to get saved. But when I go away, I'm going to serve you like this, God. God, this is the way I'm going to serve you. You can have me, but you can't have that. I'm hanging on to it. You want the blessing of God, you come up out of that altar saved, you better come up like this. Amen. And then when you lay that on the altar, then you need to come up with this. Say, woo, everything that's in this checkbook, Lord, it's yours too. And then you need to get over there where that mad money's at, where you got that man that your wife don't know anything about, stuff back. Am I hitting something? Am I ringing somebody's bell this morning? And you need to put it on the altar and say, God, that's yours too. And women, y'all need to get that weapon that you got that you call a pocketbook. I'm telling you what. Some of y'all carry so much stuff, if you hit somebody with them, you kill them graveyard dead. Some of y'all keep chiropractors in business. Do you putting that 40-pound weight on your shoulder walking like that all the time? What you expect your spine to do? Well, amen. But we need to get all of it and put it on the altar before God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go on a little further. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. When you go into the service of the Lord open-fisted, and God can take it and give it as he wants to, honey, let me tell you a secret. He'll give more than he takes. Woo! Malachi, as I heard somebody say it the other day, Malachi. Malachi 3:8-12 says, well, a man robbed God.
you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Everybody say, and offerings. You don't ever hear that part preached. All you hear is most preachers on tithes. Honey, God wants your offerings too. Amen. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now there herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen. And I will listen to this 11th verse of what God said. He said, when you get your money situation straightened out, he said, now not only will I open up the windows and begin to pour blessings out on you, but listen, he said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes.
Amen.
And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means when you go to giving money like you're supposed to, that God will rebuke the devourer. That old car that's due to tore up will run on a little bit further.
Amen.
That refrigerator that's on its last leg will knock on a little bit further. God will rebuke the devourer for our sakes.
Amen.
When we've got the blessings flowing like they're supposed to. But when they blow into our life and we just hold on to them, Lord said, let me give Aaron $100 bill. And I said, what? Mine, Lord, mine. I ain't giving you none of this. Lord said, okay, I'll take it back. And then we have unexpected medical bills. Help me, somebody. Then we have cars that ain't supposed to tear up. Brand new refrigerators go kaplooey. Gene Edwards, I don't need to say nothing about no computers, do I? Woo! We have all kinds of things that tear up. Everybody got it? Say, got it. You ready for me to move on? Say, move on.
Move on.
Thank you. Y'all been whooped hard enough, haven't you? Fourth thing, when the church is hoarding God's blessings. Now, listen to me. We've come over a lot of things here now. We're talking about no oil in the pulpit, no other things, no offering in the plate. But now we come down to this fourth one. When we're hoarding our blessings, are you listening to me? We don't hold others in prayer. Our prayers get self-centered. Oh, my. Oh, preacher, I don't do that. Maybe you don't. But let me ask you a question in this place this morning. How long has it been since you genuinely prayed for somebody else? How long has it been since you wet the carpet on the altar with tears for somebody else? I don't have a problem doing that for me. But I like me. And I know how bad me has it sometimes. And me gets to feeling real sorry for me. I can come have a real good pity party. Squall, slobber, and carry on. Oh, Lord God, help me. Y'all been there?
Amen.
But if our life is where it ought to be, we're doing the same thing for others. Are you praying for church folks to come to this church and be saved? Huh? Are you praying for me? Praying for your deacons? Praying for the leaders of this church? I'm hurrying. When the church is hoarding its blessings from God, there's no obligation. This is the fifth thing. There's no obligation in participation. Ooh. Y'all love me. Am I telling you the truth? We get to hoarding it in and we say, well, it don't matter if I go down there every Sunday or not. They're going to make it without me. Sure we will. But it matters. It does. It matters to you. And let me tell you something. It matters to God. And let me give you a real eye-opening revelation here. When we come into this place, God's got a blessing for us here to have. Amen. And you can't get it unless you come to get it. I can't get it and bring it to you. How many times have you missed a Sunday in this place and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, you ought to have been there. The Lord showed up and you say, I knew it. Every time I miss, it happens. Huh? That might ought to tell you something. No, excuse me. But my point is this.
You couldn't get the blessing you wanted by listening to somebody else tell you about it, could you? Now, if you'd have been here, you'd have got that blessing. But we see there's no obligation in our participation. We really ought to change the way we accept members. Because it used to be years ago we accepted members and we made them full-fledged members of the whole church. They had joined the Sunday school, the Bible studies, the morning worships, the evening worships, the midweek prayer services, the men's ministries, the women's ministries, the youth ministry. They joined the whole thing. Now we might as well just give them a checklist of which ones you want to join. Because there's no obligation in the participation. Oh, y'all got a white handkerchief waving at me and I know you're surrendering. Amen. We just say, well, it don't matter. But you know, the Bible talks about a little bit about a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Well, 16, I am hurrying. I'm going to make it. You may be a few minutes late, but I'm going to make it. When the church is hoarding its blessings from God, there's no objective in our praise. Some folks think you're just supposed to come into the church and just woo, hoop it up just for no reason at all. But there's got to be an objective to our praise. You know what the object of our praise is, or the objective of it is to usher us into the presence of God. Amen. Bible says that God what? Inhabits the what of men? The praises of men. And when we begin to praise God, we've got to have the objective in mind that I'm doing this not just so I'll get a buzz and go out hollering whoop-de-doo, but that we will get into the presence of Holy God. You say, why is that important, preacher? Because listen to me, when you get into the presence of Holy God, He's going to change your life. He's going to radically change you. You can't keep coming to meetings like this and not get changed. You just can't do it. If you come long enough, you're going to get saved if you lost. So you ain't preached a salvation sermon this morning, preach. There's been enough gospel preached this morning to save the world if they'd just listen. You can't come before the presence of Holy God and go away the same way. Well, amen. And I'm going to say something else while I'm on it. I know I've been harping on this, but too many times we just get that form of godliness and we deny the power thereof. Let me tell you something. You ain't worship God just because you come to 9:45 Sunday school. You have not necessarily worshiped God just because you opened a book and sang Amazing Grace. You have not, and I have not necessarily worshiped God just because we've heard a sermon. Listen, folks, those are structured services. But when we worship, it's when we step over the threshold and come into that place where we encounter Holy God in our lives. And honey, that's worship, and that's where I want to be, worshiping God. I could really care a hill of beans less about all the structured services. Just get me in the presence of God. Because when I get in the presence of God, He'll touch and change my life. You don't come before God like you do and I do and leave the same way. No wonder the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord so they could have Sunday school. No, he wasn't glad on account of that. So he could listen to old brother Aaron preach. Surely he would have been glad about that. Anybody in their right mind would be blessed hearing me preach. Forgive me, Lord, for these lies I'm telling. No. He was glad to come into the house of the Lord. Why? Because he knew there's going to be worship going on. Ooh. And when we get to worshiping God again in our churches, we'll see the overflow. It'll spill over into your life. You know what? When you come into these places on Sunday and God gets to running up this side, down that side, lapping round and round, and you get like Harv Ledbetter and something goes up your overhaul and goes to running laps and it ain't a squirrel. Oh, yeah. Woo! But it's the Holy Ghost of God. Yeah. And you get to worshiping. Guess what? Going to be different on the job Monday morning. You ain't going to look at your spouse different. And I know some men probably want to shove their wife. Get the Holy Ghost, baby. Get the Holy Ghost. Some women won't do it the other way. Won't say, yeah, he needs it bad. Because it'll make a difference.
Well,
it's hard to be mad at somebody when they're full of the Holy Ghost. It's hard to carry on an argument one-sided, too. I've tried it. You looking at one that's hard-headed enough to try. John, you have too, haven't you? Oh, not said that. Amen. That's your daddy. Amen. But I get to argue with Mary Ann sometimes. We don't argue anymore. We just, when you get married long enough, you get to the point you just state your separate opinions and then go to your separate corners. Amen. You get to the point you just don't waste all that energy on the arguing part anymore, because it ain't worth it. So you remember what I said 5 years ago? It's still in force. Now just remember it. But I've tried to get mad at her and carry on arguments, and she just look at me and smile and love me. And then, boy, I tell you what, it's hard to be mad at somebody telling they love you. It'll make a difference and have a part of your life when you encounter Holy God.
Amen.
Last point, and I ain't but 3 minutes past. Why am I doing good today or what?
Amen.
Say we're proud of you, preacher. Thank you. When the church is hoarding its blessings from God, there is no outpouring of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now listen to this. As in all churches of the saints. When the church is having problems, when instead of coming to church and having worship, they go and have a 15-round heavyweight bout, you can mark it down. God ain't in that.
Amen.
God just ain't there.
Right.
Because when we let the blessings go, there comes peace in the church. Now, that's not to say God won't move others out and some in. I know God does that all the time. That's His prerogative to do that. But yet, the peace pours out of the church. You all know why churches aren't reaching their communities for the Lord? Because all that's coming out of them is bitterness, arguing, backbiting, fussing, slandering. And then we go out and they hear all that junk. And we go knock on their door and say, come be a part of us! And folks say, why? So you can talk about me? Backbite on me? Slander my character? No, thank you. I don't think I want none of that. And you know what? I wouldn't either.
Amen.
But if I see and feel a sweet savor coming out of the house of God, I see lives being changed. I see old drunks getting sober. Help me, somebody. Dope addicts coming clean. Woo! Broken marriages getting put back together. Children getting right with parents. Parents getting right with children. Then they say, come be a part of that. And I say, you know what? Think I will. Think I'll come check you out. Because the blessings are flowing. Folks, have you heard my sermon today? We can't take these blessings that God has given us. And He has given us many. And wrap them up. Put them in a safe place and say, now they're there. If we ever need them, they're there. No. God blesses us that we might bless others.
Amen.
And it's our duty as God blesses us to tell that world that Jesus loves
Amen.
Them. That to tell that world the only answer they have is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, there's probably 150, 200 folks, I don't know, in this place this morning. And there's probably 150 and 200 different questions about life's problems. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. I know the answer. I don't know your question, but I know the answer. How can you do that, preacher? Because I'm intelligent. That's how. Amen. I don't know your problem, but I know the answer. And I'm not intelligent. An old idiot like me one day stumbled across the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. He's the answer for your problem. You got a broken marriage? Jesus is the answer. You got a drug or an addiction problem? Jesus is the answer. You find yourself in an unwanted pregnancy? Oh, Jesus is the answer. You find yourself with financial problems? Jesus is the answer. I don't care what your problem is. Jesus is the answer. And we need to tell the world that. We don't need to sit on it, but we need to tell it. Now I want you to take a good close look at your church today. And I'm through in 2 or 3 minutes. I gave you 7 indications of a church that's hoarding its blessings. No oil in the pulpit. No outsiders in the pew. No offerings in the plate. No others in prayer. No obligation in participation. No objective in praise. And no outpouring of peace. Now you look at your church. If you see those things, we need to be praying about it. We need to be asking God to move it. But let me give you a real good indication, a couple of them, of a church that's not hoarding the blessings. Number one, outsiders are coming to see what's going on. They're getting saved when they get here. They're welcome when they get here. Amen. Don't matter what race, creed, color they are, they're welcome when they come into God's house. And if we're seeing that, that's worthy of your support. That's worthy of your praise. I'm through. Somebody say, praise the Lord.